Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen, amen. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Esther, chapter number 8. Elijah, you want to hang with me tonight, man? All right, Elijah's going to hang with me. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a subject called Write the Decree. Look at somebody around you, say, write the decree. You say, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you. If you find the book of Psalms, start heading backwards towards the front of your Bible. You'll find Esther, chapter number 8. It's on page 349 of my Bible. Esther, chapter number 8, is a great chapter on prayer. Isn't that something? As you read the book of Esther, you find out that there's an amazing story of a young girl. She's in captivity. She's there with her uncle. His name is Mordecai. And the king sends for his wife, and his wife won't come. So the king says, she's not worthy to come into my presence anymore. I'm never going to see her again. So he goes out looking for a new wife. And this young girl, Esther, has such favor on her life that she becomes the king's new bride. During this whole process, there's a wicked man by the name of Haman. Haman comes against the Jewish people, not knowing that Esther is a Jew. Esther finds out about the plot, finds out about it through her uncle Mordecai, and he asks her, he says, you've got to step out. You've got to do something on behalf of your people. She says, if I do this, I will die. And he says, that may be, but listen, if you stay silent, everybody's going to die, including you. And who knows, maybe God's raised you up for such a time as this. And so she says, fast for me, pray for me, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to approach the king. And she sticks her neck out on the line, because if you approach the king without being summoned, you could be put to death, unless the king extended to you his scepter. And so here comes Esther into the presence of the king, and he extends to her his scepter, and he has dinner with her. She invites him to dinner. She also invites Haman, who's got this wicked plot against her. And there at this dinner, he says, what is it? What do you want? Up to half my kingdom. He says, I'll give you whatever you want, girl. You're looking so good, and this food tastes so yummy. You know, the way a man's heart is through his stomach. And so here she is. She's made him food. She's got this dinner going on. Everything seems to be good. Even Haman is excited because he thinks he's getting a promotion or something good's about to happen. And she starts to cry before the king, and she says, I'm here to plead on behalf of my people because there's a plot to wipe us all out. Now the king is enraged. He says, who's doing this? No one's going to kill my queen. She says, well, it's this guy right here. It's Haman. Now the king is so mad, he leaves the room. And while he leaves the room, Haman just loses his mind. And he starts to cry, and he starts to weep and wail. And in fact, Esther must have been on a chair or a couch or something like that. And Haman falls over on her, weeping and crying and pleading. And so the king comes back in while Haman is laying across her and says, is he going to assault the queen while I'm still in the room? Like, come on, get that guy out of here. And so they cover his face and they take him out of there. And it just so happened that Mordecai had set up gallows to hang Mordecai on. Haman wanted to kill Mordecai, and so he had set up gallows in his pride and his arrogance. And it's on those same gallows that Haman himself is hung and put to death. And here in Esther chapter number 8, after everything's all said and done, we find the king speaking to Esther. And he says, what do you want me to do? Because see, the king's decree had been set forth that these Jews could be assaulted, that they could be put to death in all of the kingdom. They were going to be wiped out in one day. Now, his decree could not be changed. And so he now comes to them and says, what would you have me to do? Because the word of the king could not be changed. And in Esther chapter number 8, verse number 8, he says this to Esther and to Mordecai. He says, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews, as you please, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. And so they come up with a new plan, and they say, okay, because the king had already decreed that people could attack the Jews, we want you to decree now that the Jews can defend themselves. And the fear of the Lord came upon the people all around them. And the fear of the Jews came upon the people. And the fear of Mordecai came upon the people. And so they send this word out swiftly to all the four corners of the kingdom. They send it out swiftly in every language. It goes forth. And here the Jews on that day defend themselves. tens of thousands of people who were attacking the Jews die. In fact, 500 in the capital city die. And they hang Haman's 10 sons on the gallows as well. And here it's a wonderful day, and they celebrate it even into this day. It's called Purim, because there was a lot cast against Israel. But Israel, by the hand of the Lord, and because somebody stood up and interceded before the king, was saved. And so now here we see the spiritual principle. Let me just give you a picture of what God is saying. See, this is a picture of Jesus Christ. God is the great and mighty King. And here God had called for his bride, his chosen one, Israel, and they wouldn't come. So God says, I'm going to seek out a new bride, someone who will love me. And he seeks after all the nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth, to love him of their own accord. They're so beautiful that he chooses every single one of us. And there was a wicked man who, we understand now, not Haman, but the devil, comes against humanity, and he had set up in his pride a gallows because he had the title deed of the earth given to him by Adam and Eve at the fall of man. And so here, this wicked ruler, the crown prince now, the one who ruled over the earth, is hung on his own gallows. See, Jesus defeated the devil with the death that he died on the cross. The devil thought that he had him beat, but Jesus beat death with death and was raised again to life, and therefore death no longer had any hold of him. And so Jesus raised again to life, and now here Jesus comes, and he brings the bride, and the bride can now enter into the presence of God, because the devil is defeated. And now God says, I've given you authority on the earth. I have given you my authority. And God speaks to you, and God speaks to me today, and he says, write the decree. Somebody say, write the decree. See, God wants us to make up our minds. What do we want? What is it that we want to see on the earth? What are the things that we want to accomplish? God says, write the decree. And I want you to send it forth in my name, in my authority. And I want you to seal it with the king's ring. I want to talk to you about this for a second, because this is what we have in prayer. If we're going to have a successful prayer, we need to find these same three elements in our prayers. Tonight, I want to pray. Tonight, I want to write the decree. Tonight, I want to get in the face of God with what we want. Because, listen, when you approach God, God has given you entrance. When you approach God, God extends his scepter to you. The Bible says that now we can boldly approach the throne of grace. We can find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You have been given entrance into the king's inner chamber, and now God says, what do you want? Write the decree and send it out. So a couple things quickly, and then we're going to pray together tonight. We'll have some different areas of prayer as the Lord directs and as the Lord leads. But if we're going to have a successful prayer, it needs to, number one, start by decree. It needs to start by decree. You have to know what you want, and you have to really want it. Now, I know that sounds weird, but, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians that are very sincere, and they understand about prayer, and so they pray prayers, but they're half-hearted prayers. Listen, if you're not even going to get into your prayers, how do you expect God to get into your prayers? If you're half-hearted about what you want, maybe you're a little up and down, kind of in and out, you really don't know what you want, and you come to God and say, well, God, if you want, God, if it's your will, God, if that's your desire. Now, I understand there are times where you consecrate yourself and you submit yourself, and you really are laying it down at the feet of Jesus, God, not my will, but yours be done. I understand that prayer, and that's a prayer that Jesus prayed, and I think that all of us should have that heart and that attitude with the Lord. It's not about me. And whatever God wants, that's what I want. But see, it starts with decree. See, what God wants, you can find in the pages of his word. God's desire for your life. God gives you pictures in the word that you can be successful, that you can have a family, that you can have a business, that you can be prosperous, that you can be healthy. God gives you all of these things that are in his heart. But then God says, what do you want? Do you want what I want? Do you want what I've already spoken? Do you want what I've already bought and paid for? Anything that's in the kingdom, you can have it. God says, not just half my kingdom. Now he says, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You are a part of the body of Christ. Jesus is the heir of all things. And now you are a part of him. You are one with the Lord now. He's in you and you are in him. And God says, I have given you the kingdom. So anything that's in the kingdom, you can now have. What do you want? Got to make up your mind. Got to find out what it is, because it starts by decree, and anything that God has spoken in his word, you can have. You want to have a great family? Want to have a great marriage? You want to have a great business? You want to be prosperous and successful? You want to have influence? Do you want to tell someone about Jesus and see great mighty miracles done when you pray? Do you want to see people get saved when you tell someone about Jesus? Do you want to see your community changed for the glory of God? Do you want to see the streets cleaned up here in San Bernardino and the surrounding areas? What do you want, church? Somebody needs to figure it out and start to decree the will and the way of the Lord over their lives. I was so blessed. Just yesterday we had a women's conference here at the church, and we got an email that came across from Jacob, who oversees our bus ministry. Jacob's a wonderful man of God, and he doesn't like a lot of attention, and so I'm going to read his email, and I know he would be embarrassed about me doing this, but I don't care. He's wonderful. He's actually thanked me for giving him the opportunity to bring people to church, because he says, what could be better than that? Listen to Jacob's email, listen to Jacob's heart, and listen to the heart of your church and the heart of people who really wanted something. Look at what it says. Jacob writes this. He says, I wanted to send a huge thank you to Pastors Jessica and Michelle. Thank you for making it possible for the women from the buses and the FDC to come to the conference. I know we have to take a hit to do so. He's talking about finances, because we pay for that. I know we have to take a hit to do so. So I wanted to take a couple of minutes to express my gratitude for the things that I saw because of that decision. A couple of months before the conference, I was speaking with one of the bus riders about whether or not she would be coming to the conference. She said that with the way finances are, she had to choose between girls' night out and the conference. And she loves GNO, right? She loves the girls' night out. She was ecstatic when she found out she could go to both this year. Most of our riders are in the same boat financially. Before the week when the women registered during food distribution, there was exactly one phone call for a ride to the conference. We ended up with three buses going out. Isn't that amazing? And then he writes, thank you for loving the people of the Inland Empire. All but a couple of the women came back today. So this was written this morning. He says, all but a couple of women that came to the conference came back for church again today. That in itself was a miracle, everybody. That's awesome. And he says, and they couldn't stop telling the ones that missed it how great it was and how much they got out of it. Today, on the bus, I had the pleasure of watching them put it into action. One of the first-time riders had to be taken home due to a medical issue. While I was taking the rest of the bus riders home, one of them told the other lady something along the lines of, remember what Marilyn Hickey said, and then proceeded to encourage the riders that whatever they prayed for, God would hear it. Now listen to this. I got to experience my entire bus lifting up this first-time visitor in prayer. These ladies weren't just praying. They were passionate about it, and they were praying together. What an honor it was to be there. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? See, here's some ladies who we extended the love of Jesus to. We said you can come to the conference, and they got a hold of the Word of God. And they heard the testimony that whatever we can speak, whatever we can believe God for, if we can have some crazy faith, if we can believe God for someone's healing, you can have it. And there on the bus, someone gets sick, and now they've got a hold of the decree of God. They see that they can have it, and they weren't just passive, Lord, if it be your will to heal. Listen, guys, it's God's will to heal. God wants us well. God doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us broke down, busted, and disgusted. Listen, God does not want you to live out your days on the earth unable to fulfill and accomplish His will. God wants you strong. God wants you healthy. God wants you vibrant. God wants you mentally active. He wants you in the game. God wants you to have every resource available to you. God wants you to be successful. I should have had a bigger amen than that. Did you know that success is a Bible word? Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, do not let the book of the law, the decrees of the Lord, depart from your lips, but meditate on it day and night, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Come on, somebody. Success is a Bible word. God wants you to have success. So it starts by decree in John chapter 15. Turn there with me to John chapter number 15, the Gospel of John, quickly. John chapter number 15. Jesus is speaking. Look what he says in John chapter 15, verse number 7. He says, if is the biggest little word in the Bible, isn't it? Two letters that can change your life. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, that means to live, to stay, to dwell. If you stick with Jesus, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if the decrees of the Lord stick in you. Look at what he says. You will ask what you desire, See, if the word of the Lord is on the inside of you, then the word of the Lord will literally come out of you. It will be your desire. It'll be what you want. God, I want what you want. And God, I want it the way that you want it. God, I see myself healthy. God, I want that. I want to be healthy. God, I see you want me to prosper. God, I want to prosper. God, I see that I can have a great marriage. God, I want to have a great marriage. God, I can see you want me to be pure and holy before you. I see you want me to be passionate. God, I see you want me to be powerful. I see you want me to be a witness. See, whatever you can see from the decree of the Lord, you will start to desire those things, and then you can start to declare it. Look at what he says. He says, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That's the words of Jesus. And listen, Jesus is God, and God cannot lie. So if you have the decree of the Lord, it starts by decree. Second thing is this, it's declared in the name of Jesus. Remember what he says. He says, write the decree and send it in my name. That was the king's command to Esther. You write the decree. You figure out what you want and really want it. You get a hold of whatever promise it is from the Bible that you want, and then you send it forth in the name of Jesus, in the authority that God has given you on the earth. When Jesus, before he went to heaven, he commissioned the disciples and he said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore. In other words, go in that authority. Go, I'm giving you charge. Go therefore and preach the gospel to every nation, to all creation, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, we have the authority in Jesus' name. That whatever it is we can see in the Word of God, whatever it is that we can start with decree of the Lord, that now all of a sudden we can get a hold of it. I really want this, but now we can declare it in the name of Jesus. You're there in John 15. Turn back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse number 13 and verse number 14. Look at what it says. He says, and whatever, everybody say whatever. Remember, we talked about the decree, right? Anything you can find in the Word of the Lord. Now, this does not include presumption or foolishness, because God doesn't play games. Hello. So if you're saying, well, I want to be that person's husband or wife and they're married, not going to happen. It has to be according to his will. So he says, and whatever. So this doesn't include presumption, doesn't include foolishness. Whatever you ask in my name. Everybody say in his name. That's the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. God gets glory. God is shown to be good when Jesus does whatever we ask in his name, according to the will of the Father. Now, in case you didn't get it in that verse, take a look at the next verse, verse number 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, guys, just in case you missed it the first time, let me say it a second time. If you ask anything, remember, first time he said whatever, this time he says anything. That's pretty comprehensive, don't you think? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is speaking. He says he's going to make it happen. That's an amazing thought when you think about it. God himself, in the form of his son Jesus, is working on your behalf when you ask in his name, in his authority, because God is shown to be good when he does it. So it starts by decree. It's declared in the name of Jesus. Then finally, number three is this. It's sealed by the Spirit. It's sealed by the Spirit. Now, Jesus, remember, just said, if you ask anything in my name, that I will do. Then he, in the next verse, says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Okay? But then the very next verse, take a look at what it says, John 14, 16 and 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Somebody say another helper. Now, when he says another helper, he uses a Greek word that literally means one to come alongside you in the same fashion. In other words, it's me in a different form. It's the same help that you got from Jesus. Jesus saying, I'm going to help you. And here's the help that he sends. He says, I'm going to send another one just like me to come alongside you and help you out. The Holy Spirit is that helper that he sent. Look at what the rest of the verse says. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is the seal that's given to the church. He is the guarantee. He is the one that comes and reminds us of everything that Jesus has spoken. He is the one that is enacting the will of the Father. Remember, by decree of the King, the Father God conceived it in his thinking and gave it to us in his word. Jesus is the spoken word that has now declared. We can declare in the authority, and now the Holy Spirit is the seal. He is the guarantee. He is the reason that we know that all the promises of God to those who believe in him are yes and amen, because Jesus gave us his Spirit. He gave us his guarantee. The Spirit is the seal. He is that signet ring that is pressed into our lives and that changes the way that we look, so that when people see the authority of God on our lips, when they hear the word of the Lord by decree coming out of our mouth, and then the Holy Spirit makes it happen, he is the one that shows it's the King that did this. It's the King's command that carries it out. He is the swift rider that is going forth to the nations and carrying the will and the plan of God out in every language, every tribe, every tongue. He is the one filling the believers and filling the church today, and he is the one that is that ring that's pressed into our lives that seals the promises of God. He's the guarantee. He is the reason that we know that whatever we ask, that we can have. And so tonight, write the decree. Write the decree. What is it that you really want? What is it that you really desire? Can I get personal? What is it that you're afraid to ask God for? Because you don't want to get your hopes up. What is it that you're disappointed with God that you didn't get when you prayed, that you gave up on? How much do you really want it? How much do you really desire it? How long are you willing to wait for it? Are you willing to fight for it? Because remember, the decree that Esther gave was that the Jews could defend themselves. There was a fight that they had to fight. There was a battle that they had to go through in order to receive their lives. This is not a magical wand. This is not throw a prayer up, coin, pull a lever, and out comes the candy. God is not a slot machine. God is the great and mighty King. And he asks tonight, what do you want? Will you decree the word of the Lord? Will you speak it forth in the name of Jesus? And will you seal it with the ring of promise, the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to fight? Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to be passionate? Are you willing to look a fool? How much do you want it? God is saying, whatever you ask, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. And he gives you the promise of the Holy Spirit to seal that. Tonight, we're going to pray. A couple of things that I want to do. One thing I want to do is just take a moment right now, right where you're at. And I want you to answer that question for yourself. What is it that I really want? Would you just take a moment and pray? Just take a moment and think about that. What if God showed up to you and said, ask, like he did Solomon? What do you really want? Solomon didn't ask for riches, long life. He asked for wisdom. He said, if I'm going to lead these people, that's what I really want. I really want wisdom. God made him the wisest man on the earth at that time. What do you really want? Would you just write that down? Would you just take a moment, if you have your smartphone or if you got a notepad or something, just write it down. Commit it to something. Whatever it is that you really want, that you really desire. Maybe it's been something that you've been afraid to ask God for because you didn't want to get your hopes up. But you can see it in his word. You know it's available to you. Maybe it's a big, audacious dream. What is it that you've given up on that you know is God's will, but you gave up on it? But you really want it. Would you write that down? Commit it to pen and paper. Commit it to your cell phone digitally. If you're here with your husband or wife or maybe a trusted friend, would you just lean over and share that with them? Because there's accountability there now. tonight, I believe we're going to pray in some of these areas. Maybe something that you wrote down we're going to pray for as the Spirit leads us tonight. So I just want to take a couple of moments, and I want to pray as the Spirit leads. I want to start by praying for those of you who really want to get healed. Maybe you've been sick in your body for a long time. Maybe you've had some form of pain that you've been dealing with, and you've done everything you know to do in the natural. But you really want to get healed. You know you've got a promise in Isaiah chapter number 53. You know that you've got a promise in Psalm 130. You know that you've got a promise from the word of the Lord, Deuteronomy, that says, I am the Lord that heals you. If you really want that, stand to your feet right where you're at. You really want to get healed. Those of you that are around the people that have just stood up, would you just get a hand appropriately on their shoulder? Maybe their hand. Some of you can just touch their forehead. Just get a hand on them. Anybody that's standing that doesn't have somebody laying a hand on them, just raise up your hand real quick. Wave. If you don't have somebody that laying their hand, okay, they're coming to you. They're coming to you. All right. They're coming to you right now. All right. Now, I'm going to lead in prayer, but those of you that are standing for your healing and you really want it, I want you right now to pray for yourself. I want you to cry out and to ask God. I want you to decree the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's pray together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those that are standing. We stand with them, God. We stand in agreement with them, Lord Jesus. And Father, you said in your word that by the laying on of our hands, God, that those that are sick shall recover. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, God, you said, be it unto you according to your faith. And so we decree the word of the Lord that by your stripes we were healed. And Father, there was none feeble among Israel. And so, God, we thank you, Lord, that there will be none feeble amongst your church, that you are the Lord that heals us, and you send forth your word and you heal us. We will bless the Lord, O our soul. Bless the Lord and do not forget all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins, who heals all of our diseases. We thank you, Father, for your healing power going into physical bodies right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Somebody give the Lord a great big praise tonight. Hallelujah. Let's do this. Is the music team still with us? Can you guys come up on the stage? Anybody in the room while they come, anybody in the room, you just stood up for healing, you prayed, and you already feel a difference in your body. Maybe you need to move a leg, or you need to do the chicken wing or something like that. Anybody already feel something happening? You feel something happen in your body? It's changed? Did you have pain? What's that? You needed deliverance from drugs. Were you desiring drugs before you came to the church service tonight? It's okay to be honest, man. There's a whole bunch of people that used to be drug addicts in the room, okay? So you're not alone. There's a whole bunch of ex-druggies in the place, all right? We love you. No one's judging you, my friend. Let me ask you this, okay? You said you feel a difference in your body. Do you feel any desire for drugs right now? None whatsoever. That's God, my friend. Keep praising God. Now listen, the boys in the hood that used to get you the drugs, you're going to have to cut them off, because they're going to try and drag you back into that tar pit of addiction. All of a sudden, I'm going to prophesy to you right now, somebody's going to offer you drugs for free where they used to charge you for it. That's a attack of the devil to try and get you back, because he's going to be mad that you're delivered. But listen, you tell them, no, I'm not doing that. I'm with Jesus now. I don't do drugs anymore. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord, man. Keep praising God and stay with us. We love you, okay? Stay with it. Hey. Even if you mess up, you come back and stay with us, okay? We love you. You're not going to mess up, but we love you, and you're going to stay with us. God's good. You're delivered, my friend. It's brave, brave to say that. Who in their physical body feels a difference? You already feel a difference. Anybody that stood up for healing, you already feel a difference. Right there, okay. Yes. Did you have pain in your body? Acid reflux, really bad. You've been taking medication. You didn't take it today. Were you feeling the effects of acid reflux before the church service tonight? You were. And so right now, you're swallowing. You can't feel any effects of acid reflux in your body right now. She was feeling burning in her stomach, and it's not there anymore. Somebody praise the Lord. You're healed. Keep praising Him. Keep praising Him. Hallelujah. Anybody else real quick? Anybody else that you already feel a difference? Juan, you feel... What did you have in your body, Juan? Sharp pains. Down your lower back. You felt like it was electrical. Yesterday. He couldn't make it to the conference yesterday to help out because he was in so much pain. Today he felt the peace of God just come on his body, and it was just overwhelming to him. That's awesome. It's awesome. Any pain in your back right now? Did you have any restricted movement yesterday that you couldn't do something? Or was it just feeling? Lean on your left leg? Try it right now. He said when he would lean on his left leg, he would feel that sharp pain. Do you feel it? I'm sorry, what? You don't feel it? Don't feel any pain. Lean on that left leg again. Come on. Lean on that left leg. Is it? Look at it. Okay. Look at that. Totally healed. Totally healed. Okay, we got some more people. You tried something that you know that you got healed? Way in the back? All right. Is this okay, everybody? Everybody's good? Yes, ma'am. You were standing up. She was praying for her sisters. They tell her she has permanent nerve damage in her neck.
My shoulders, my arms, and my hands.
Shoulder, arms, and hands. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. I'm messing with you. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was praying. I had those hot cords of electricity just shooting through my arm.
Wait, while you were praying for somebody else, you felt hot shooting. That's the nerve damage. So that's what it feels like? So while she was praying for someone else, she had the pain, and then the pain went away while she was praying for somebody else. Isn't that an amazing spiritual principle? Let me just camp out on that for a second. You know, sometimes your miracle comes when you're praying for somebody else. Sometimes when you're sowing a seed into someone else's life, you reap a harvest from that seed, right? When you pray for somebody else, all of a sudden, the Bible says, he who waters will himself be watered. See, so you were praying for your sister there, and while you're praying, you could feel the pain, and for a couple of people there, she was praying for them, had both hands extended, pain was there, and then as she was praying, she got healed. Isn't that God? God is so good. Amen. Now, right behind you, was there another hand right behind you? Was somebody else behind? Did you get healed right there in the hat? Okay, what happened? Post-traumatic stress disorder. You had PTSD? From relational PTSD. Okay, I understand. And was there anxiety attached to that? Torment and stress, yes. So were you feeling that before you came into the church service tonight? Yes, you were. And then do you feel any of that right now? Totally gone. Somebody give the Lord a great big praise. It's awesome. See, God will heal the entire person. God will heal the entire body, soul, PTSD and all, and spirit. That's awesome. That's awesome. There was another hand over here. Was there? And she was praying for you. Okay, so they're all sowing healing into each other's lives over there. That's awesome. Hey. That must be where the spout where the glory pours out right there. God is good. God's just blessing people over there. Anybody else get healed? Anybody else on this side over here? Because this side got healed. You guys should have sat over here tonight. Anybody else feel any healing in their body? All right, praise the Lord. Hey, listen, for the rest of you, keep declaring, keep speaking the word of the Lord. Keep declaring that God is working in your body for a healing and a cure. Will you guys play real quick? Let's just do this. I just want to pray for some of you who really want to, some of you guys really want to be prosperous. You really want it. And you felt guilty about desiring to be prosperous in business. Stand to your feet, if that's you. You felt guilty about prospering. Look at this. Do you really want to be prosperous? You really want to be blessed financially? Okay? Because we're going to believe the word of the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. Okay? So you need to make it your game, your vision, your goal, your desire to be pleasing to the Lord in your prosperity. Because true prosperity is seek first the kingdom of God and all these things he will add unto you. So the goal is I'm going to put a smile on God's face because I'm building his kingdom. Prosperity is not about you just being blessed with material things. Prosperity is every area of your life. But guess what? God isn't worried about money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, but he's given the stewardship of it to man. And so as you steward things, just like the blessing of Abraham, Abraham was very blessed. He had 300 men born in his own house. That's how many servants the guy had. He was very wealthy. In fact, him and his nephew were so wealthy, they couldn't even stay on the same plot of land. They had to divide because they had so much. And I believe that God wants to bring business entrepreneurship. God wants you to be a kingdom builder with your finances. God wants to put that purpose into your heart. And if you really want it, you can have it. And those of you that are sitting around, then just stretch a hand out towards them, okay? We're going to pray. And if you really want it, you pray right now while I'm praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bless each and every one of these that are standing, desiring to prosper. Lord, you said the blessing of the Lord makes rich, God. And so, Father God, I pray that where the devil would try and come in with deceitfulness of wealth, that they would not be deceived, that they would not cheat for gain, that they would not think of it as ungodly, that it would not draw them away. But Father God, that for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God, that you prosper these men and women standing in this place in business, Lord, to seed and to sow into the things that you want done on the earth, God, to take care of people, to send the gospel to the nations, to bless your house, your church, God, and Father, that they would be blessed and prosperous in every area of their life, that it would not be limited to finances, God, in the name of Jesus, that they prosper in their marriage, that they prosper in their home, they prosper in their dreams and vision, God, they prosper with their children, Lord, that everything they put their hands to, they prosper, God. We thank you, Father God, that prosperity is your idea and that you're pleased when your people prosper. And so, God, these are desiring prosperity in business. May they be pleasing to you in all that they do, with every dollar they make, with every seed that they sow, God, with every endeavor that they put their hand to, Lord, every business deal, God, everything coming down the road, Lord, every interaction, every relationship, may it be integrous, may it be pleasing to you, may it be good for God, good for others, and good for them. We pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You guys can have a seat. You want to prosper in your marriage. Stand to your feet. You really want it. You really want it. You really want it. Once again, marriage is God's idea. God said it's not good for man to be alone. And he brought him the woman. Eve was a gift to Adam because Adam had a problem. And he needed help. And God sent the woman together. And even without, it's amazing to me because God speaks something. He says, so shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Adam and Eve didn't have earthly parents. God was speaking an eternal principle over their lives, that they too should be joined as one. It's a covenant agreement. It's the closest, most solemn and sacred of all agreements. And in your marriage, if you really want to have a godly marriage and a blessed marriage, God wants that for your life because God is the author of marriage. So once again, let's lift our hands towards these that are standing. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just bless each and every marriage. God, some are here standing with their spouse. Some are here standing alone, God. You know each and every circumstance, God. You know each and every relationship in this place, God. There are some that are standing together and their marriage is good. We pray that it gets better, God. There are some here, God, their marriage stinks. And God, you know exactly what needs to happen to make it a great marriage. You know how to heal the broken heart. You know how to bring forgiveness and love. You know how to bring restoration and reconciliation. God, you know how to mend everything that has been shredded and torn apart by bad decisions, wrong choices, by foolishness, Lord, and by the attack of the enemy. And so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we bless each and every one of these marriages, God. We bless and just undergird them with our faith, God. We stand with them in faith, God. Believe you for strong and healthy marriages, God. As they believe you now, God, so may it be done in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody in agreement said, amen, amen. Now remember, some of you guys are going to have to fight for your marriage. Just like the Jews had to fight for their freedom, fight for their lives. You're going to have to fight for your marriage. You're going to have to go after it. Maybe some of you guys are going to have to seek counsel. Some of you guys are going to have to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. Maybe there's some things that you need to do to make reparations or restoration. The Lord will minister those things to your heart. God is so good. If I haven't covered something, but you really want it, and you were hoping that I would call it out, and I haven't called it out, and you're disappointed that I haven't called it out yet, stand to your feet. I haven't called out something that you really want. Okay? Now, I'm sure there's varied things all across this room that you guys are standing for. But God knows the hidden counsels of the heart, doesn't he? And isn't like God to say, I know what's inside of you. Will you stretch your hands towards these that are standing? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we don't know what's on the inside of these that are standing. But God, you do. Lord, you said all things are open and exposed before you, God. And so, Lord, even though we haven't spoken them, they've got the decree of the Lord. They know that it's something that's in your heart, God, and they really want it. And so they're standing right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, 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 we seal this right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, God. And we say, be it done according to their faith as they have believed, so may they receive in Jesus' name. We're all in agreement. We say amen and amen. Somebody give the Lord a great big praise right now. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.